This is The Blitz.
Hour number two of The Blitz begins now. Rick Butler, Chance Collins, Brandon Orrick hanging out with you for the next hour as we talk all things Tennessee sports, leading you up until Talk Sports. They will be on from 12 to 3. The Drive with Russell, Bear, and Trey will be on from 3 to 6. And then, of course, Overtime brings you home from 6 to 8. We're broadcasting live on the radio at 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. The podcast with the both hours from the show will be up momentarily after the show goes off the air. You can give us a call at 865-546-8200. And, of course, go download the FanRun app so you can take the shows wherever you are headed at any point in the day.
Hey, quick, let's go back over to our Twitter question of the day. Over at Fox Sports Knoxville, how confident are you of Tennessee's chances as we head into Florida Hate Week and Felipe Franks being out? A little bit over 400 votes now coming in. 72%, not confident at all. 21% very confident, 4% or excuse me, 21% confident, 4% very confident. So you got 25% of people, fans, listeners are very confident. Another 70+% not confident at all. We got some write-in votes as well.
Surely those 4% just clicked the wrong button, right?
Yeah, oh, maybe. Chip says, I had a little confidence before Franks got hurt. Now that Trask is starting, he will have a big game. The backup always does, a la Brandon Orrick. Houston Crest fan club. Carnes High School has a better chance to beat the New England Patriots than UT has to beat Florida.
I mean,
who said that?
The Houston Crest fan club. No chance in hell. It will not happen. End of discussion. And Austin says, very confident we dominate in the blood drive.
That is true. We always run the blood drive for this game.
I thought it was for Kentucky that we did the blood drive.
I thought it was too.
Is it?
I thought it was always Kentucky.
I thought it was Kentucky. Anyway.
Huh. I don't know.
It is important. It's a blood drive, but as far as football is concerned, it's not. Anyway.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, the Florida backup dominating against Tennessee, it's like the Masters. It's a tradition unlike any other.
That was a pretty good one.
It's a long-standing tradition in the SEC.
I feel like just backups coming in and dominating in general in Tennessee. It's just, yeah, like, they don't have a quarterback. They got somebody. Put a wide receiver out there, Derek Dooley, Kentucky. Like I say, put a wide receiver out there, Will Muschamp and the Gators. Yeah, it doesn't matter if they have a chance to do it.
Oh, I don't know. I gotta do something to get myself psyched up before Saturday, though. I can't do this all week. I can't be this negative all week. I got to do something to get it going.
Oh, you're going to talk yourself into that they can win the game.
No. You're misunderstanding.
Okay.
I can count on one hand how many times that we've beaten Florida in the past 50 years.
Especially in Gainesville. It ain't happening.
So, no, I don't think we're going to win, but I got to be a little bit more positive. I can't be this negative. I got to find a little bit of positivity. Maybe we cover. Maybe.
Hoping for the cover.
So, I got to find something before Friday to get me positive.
Yeah.
That injury was nasty, though.
Yeah. Oh, he tore every ligament in his ankle that he
could. I have not seen it yet. I just got a text from a friend, and he was like, hey, Felipe Franks is dead.
No, you've not watched it?
No.
Oh, it's nasty.
I don't really want to.
It looks bad.
He ain't got no ankle after that. It was rough. You're right. It was very bad. So, yeah, man. Just
poor Mr. Tomness.
So.
Treon Harris. That's who I've been thinking of.
Treon Harris.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yes.
That was the wide receiver they put out there when Driscoll got hurt, and they won 10-9 here at Neyland Stadium.
Yeah, that was.
That was a hard one. And Will Muschamp talking all that trash afterwards. Was that the first?
Yes. That was the first
Checker Kneeling. Yeah. And you get out there. I love more seeing all these people up in here upset in this post game.
Golly.
I love they all came out here and saw this loss or something like that, he said. Well, Muschamp, pretty good at trash talk.
I hate him.
Pretty good at trash talk.
I hate him.
Also sneaky old, too.
Is he?
Yeah, he's sneaky old.
How old is he? I would guess he's like
Muschamp?
Late 40s.
I was going to say mid-40s.
No, I think he might be in his 50s.
No.
Will Muschamp. This is great radio right here.
He can't be. He's 50?
That's what my guess is.
He's 48. He's 48.
Okay. He looks sneaky.
So we're all right around there.
He looks old.
He's 48. He doesn't look that old.
I feel like he looks younger than he is.
I feel like he looks older. He's just the scowl he always has on his face.
He does always. He looks
disgruntled.
He looks perpetually pissed.
Yes. At all times.
I think we almost hired him one time.
This might have been a good hire.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, hey, it takes away somebody who can't, you know, beat you every time.
We wouldn't be losing to him. This being 8 years in a row.
If you can't beat him, have him join you.
Will Muschamp has whooped your ass 7 years in a row.
All right, I'm done talking to Will Muschamp.
865-546-8200. Let's go ahead and take a call. Next Door Home Group Hotline. Speak to Ryan. Ryan, you're on the Blitz, Fox Sports Knoxville.
Good morning, gentlemen. How was your weekend?
Pretty good.
Very good.
Pretty good.
Glorious. Glad to hear it. Just doing a little Monday inventory. That's for you, Chance, only. I don't know that right there.
A little Monday inventory.
Hey, couple of questions I wanted to ask. One is, of course, my conspiracy theory, in that when these backups got a chance to play, passes were missed, through hands, timing was off, whatever you want to call it, Trey Smith's penalty, and then the conversation that I saw on the TV between Trey Smith and Jarrett was kind of mysterious to me. As if to say that these guys are loyal to that kid that much that they might sabotage any chance that a backup may have. I want to know what you guys thought about that. That's just me throwing that out there.
Somebody else threw that out there, too, when they called in earlier.
I think it was somebody on Twitter.
Yeah,
we had a tweet about a conspiracy that Pruitt doesn't want. What was it? There's a conspiracy that Pruitt didn't call the plays for Maurer because he knows he will look better than Jarrett Garantano and will upstage him. I think that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
I mean, like, if we want to play the whole conspiracy, I mean, like, could it be? Because you still have Jarrett Garantano. If he knew he wasn't going to be the starter, he'd have this one more game that he could play, right? And he could sit out and he could transfer. But he's going to be a graduate transfer anyways after this year, right?
So it
really wouldn't matter.
All right, moving on. I'll let that go for today.
That's two people now. It's got legs. It's got legs.
One more question, switching gears to the NFL. The amount of penalties that I saw week one, week two, is enormous.
Yes.
Compared to maybe last year. And what I wanted to ask specifically about the Titans game, which was an atrocious last 5 minutes, was watching it and just could. I turned it off several times and said I wasn't going to turn it back on, and I did because Titans always do this against Colts. They've been beat 17 out of 20 times, and they keep getting opportunities to win games, and they can't do it late. But the penalties on that side, but one in particular was that call. Not that it would have made a huge difference, but Oakland against KC. On that Williams pass interference call that was clearly on the defense, but they called it on the offensive side. Is the NFL calling these penalties to make the games longer so that they get more commercial breaks and get more advertising and get more money? Or is it just all these new rules that are making it more difficult to get the calls correct and they're trying but failing? And I'll hang up and listen. Have a good week, guys.
Thank you very much for the phone call, Ryan. Man, I noticed that yesterday. Yesterday for the 1 o'clock games, I had the Cowboys game on one TV, and on the TV right next to it, I had the Titans and the Colts, and it felt like, regardless of what game I was watching, there was some kind of flag on the field, and it was jarring to me because it was so it's hard to keep your attention into the game, especially if it's not your own team, right? And there's so much penalties, it makes the game harder to watch, and And some, I don't know where, which side it falls on. I would imagine maybe somewhere in the middle, taking from both of those sides, Ryan, the two arguments that you presented. But, man, it just seems like these rules are getting excessive. It feels like refs are just calling things for the hell of it now. Whatever it is, it does feel like there's been a lot more penalties this season. I don't know. Maybe there's a number on it. Maybe I'll look that up real quick.
Well,
see if I can get back.
There were a couple things, and there was one just – it was a pass interference call against Malcolm Butler for the Titans. He's defending T.Y. Hilton. And it was not pass interference. It was not. It was great defensive play. And what is Mike Vrabel doing? Is he not familiar with the new rule that you can now challenge pass interference? Because if there's one that could be overturned, it was that one. Are y'all familiar with the one I'm talking about?
I think so.
It was a little out route, a little post route that T.Y. Hilton ran it, going out to the sideline, dives for the ball, and Malcolm Butler kind of dives in front of him. He might have got his leg just a little bit. I mean, but they were both diving. They were both diving for the ball. They throw pass interference. It was not pass interference. Fans were tons of boos. But, I mean, yeah, it was a bad call, but if you're Mike Vrabel, you got to throw the challenge flag on that one. I mean, that's the whole reason for this rule, right?
Yes. Yeah. And here's what I think, because we saw that play happen last time. I wonder how seriously they're going to take that penalty.
Pass interference?
Yeah. Or the lack thereof. You know, how you can challenge a no call.
Have they overturned any of those?
Not yet. They have not overturned one yet. I don't know if they will.
I feel like they might have just done that to appease Saints fans and then just not do anything about it. But then the
Saints
got screwed over again yesterday. Did you see that?
Yes.
They got screwed over again versus the Rams.
What happened?
The play was called dead, which it shouldn't have been. It was a fumble that they returned back, but the play was called dead early. So, you know, the fumble return, and it shouldn't have been, because at least they should have, you know, been able to review it. But the refs whistled it dead, so dead play, but it definitely was a fumble. I'm looking at a site, NFL Penalty Tracker, right now.
We're on the same website, Chance.
Are you?
Yep.
There you go.
I was just about to bring it up as well.
So I was trying to look at penalties for this year. I think it was like an average of 7.8 a game I saw, and I was going to...
I have right here 484 penalties throughout the season so far.
And at this point last year?
No clue. I've been trying to figure that part out, but... cannot find it. Maybe I'll be able to find it.
Doesn't break it.
And again, like, I don't know how big 484 is, you know, relative to everything. I don't have any other years to go off of. I don't have any other weeks to go off of. But it does seem like, hey, that is a lot of penalties. Tampa Bay and San Francisco, your two most penalized teams of the season so far. So that is maybe you have some trivia going on this week. Maybe that'll be one of the questions. You're welcome.
I doubt it.
It might be.
Maybe.
Seems like a good trivia question.
Who are the most penalized teams in the NFL through 2 weeks?
Ding, ding, ding. I listen to the Blitz. I know exactly what it is. San Francisco, Tampa Bay.
Yeah,
so anyways.
I don't know. Maybe the NFL is trying to get some advertising dollars in by making the games longer. I mean, I could see them making their games longer because it's more time in your face. I mean, it's already a year-round league. But I just think it's a lot of these there's a lot of pass interference challenges that are happening. Coaches having the opportunity to do that, they're taking advantage of it. I've even seen some, I guess, as far as defensive looking at offensive pass interference. So coaches are definitely taking advantage of that. And I haven't noticed that much slower pace in the game. I've noticed all the pass interference calls kind of getting on my nerves, like the challenges. But as far as, like, it seems like same old football to me so far.
It looks like VFL Malik Jackson had an injury for Filthy yesterday. Speedy recovery to our own VFL. I had no idea he was with Philly. It means you got two Vols on that defensive line.
Yeah, they picked him up in the offseason.
And yet you hate him so much.
You do hate him.
Right?
You hate to see it. They retired Eddie George and Steve McNair's jerseys yesterday while I was there.
Yeah.
At the Titans game. That was pretty cool. But yeah.
Do you have any good stories come out from the game yesterday? Any fans go just totally crazy? Any fights in the stands?
No.
Let's see, nude people on the field? I don't know.
Nude on the
We've seen it before.
Streakers?
Yeah.
No, nothing like that. No fights. Everybody pretty much just trying to beat the Heat. That was basically it.
Yeah, it was like you were against each other on the field, but in the stands, everyone's like, "Hey, we're all dying here together. It's way too hot."
Yeah, I mean, there was really nothing crazy. There was one Colts fan; he was getting a little rowdy up back behind us, but for the most part, you didn't have too much going on.
We saw this guy in the stands, and I'm going to fact check this. Me and my dad went to the game together, so I'm going to fact check this with him. It was a very weird thing. It was like there was a lady in front of us, and she was in Tennessee gear, but she had a son who played for Chattanooga, right? There was a guy sitting to her left, also in Tennessee gear, and I think that he was the father of the son, but then I think that her boyfriend was also sitting next to her, right? And he was in full UTC gear. And the guy, the boyfriend in UTC gear, was just standing up telling everybody this. It was weird.
Was telling everybody like their business, like their
relationship? Yes. They're like, that's not my son. That's actually her son, but we're together. And it was like, what?
Wow.
It was a weird thing. I'm going to see if I told that story the right way. But anyways, we got more NFL football to talk about coming up
interesting.
Next. Interesting. Don't go anywhere. I'll try to give you the full story.
That was
story.
More interesting than the game.
I'll try to get the full story.
Juicy.
Know your role and shut your mouth. Just sit there and watch the game like the rest of us. Ooh. I hate the stupid comedians in the stand. If I wanted a comedian, I'd go to a comedy show. I'd listen to a podcast or go to YouTube. I don't need, you know, Doug over there in the stadium turning around.
Sit down, Doug.
With his back
shut
to
up,
the
Doug.
Game, looking us all dead in the eyes, making all these jokes that aren't that funny after
we don't
a while.
Know you, Doug. We don't like you.
This happened to you?
Well, I'm specifically talking about that guy that I was talking about just a second ago.
I can't recall too many comedians in the stands. I mean, there is guys who try to, make a joke or persons. The one thing it just drives me crazy when I go watch, and it happens a lot at Tennessee games especially, people with no knowledge of the game. When I say no knowledge, no concept of the rules, no concept of, just the game in itself, and I'm not a coach. I'm also not a referee. But I understand the damn game, and I've watched a lot of football. And just those people that are, like, constantly yelling, like, for a penalty or a flag when there's not anything to be had in those particular situations, those people is what drives me crazy. And the people who, like, swear they know all the history of the team and they're shouting out facts that you know are definitely wrong, that they made up, or that they just don't know what they're talking about, those are the people that get on my nerves at the football games. I can take a joke here and there, but it's those people.
Yeah, I get that, especially if, they're just kind of screaming.
When they're screaming it.
They're like,
that's a flag! Like, just like, stupid stuff. Like, when it's clearly not a penalty, and they're screaming, they're behind you, and you're like, oh, man. And
it is funny, though, and during football games and stuff, and I hadn't realized this because I haven't been to a live game in a while, but it is funny when, you do have like a play. I'm thinking of last game when I think it was Nigel Warrior's interception when he was running down the sideline. He made a couple good moves, was tiptoeing the sideline there for a while, but eventually the ref called him out of bounds at like the 6 yard line or the 11 yard line, whatever it was. And, all the whole crowd was just booing the hell out of the refs. We all thought it was in bounds. And then they show one replay in the Jumbotron, clearly steps out, and the whole crowd is just, in unison. Oh! Okay, well, all right, that's fine. He was clearly out. I always think that moment is very funny because it's just one collective from 100, whatever, 1,000 people. Nah, it wasn't that on Saturday, but, just like, all right, we got that wrong. Okay.
Have you seen this expose that just came out, within the last hour on Antonio Brown?
Yeah, SI?
Yeah.
I pulled it up. I haven't had a chance to read it, though, yet, because it's pretty lengthy, and I'm trying to focus over here on the show.
It's a long one. Very lengthy. I saw a little excerpt on Twitter, so I wanted to go through and find it, and I just did. Here's I'll just read you this.
Yeah,
whole
basically, what before Brandon gets started, read it. It's like people that I guess apparently like you know that he's kind of hurt along the way. Like he's kind of ruined some of these people's lives, and this all coming out. Obviously, everything that happened with that trainer. She's speaking with the NFL today, so we'll know if he's on the commissioner's exempt list later on as well.
Here's just a paragraph. It's way on down the article, talking about before he kind of made it. Brown spent a postgraduate year at North Carolina Prep Academy, then enrolled at Central Michigan. When a staffer picked him up from the airport and suggested they go to baggage claim, Brown told him the pair of grocery bags filled with clothes was his only luggage. Those who knew him then described him being drawn to authority figures. Here we go. He found a mentor in head coach Butch Jones and a team chaplain and Michigan State trooper Mike White.
Butch Jones, AB's mentor.
Hey, real quick, too, breaking news.
Oh? Uh-huh.
Patriots wide receiver Antonio Brown has been accused of sexual misconduct by a second woman, according to Robert Klimko.
Well.
Wow.
Well.
Wow. Now, to me, this one's going to be interesting because, you know, obviously – we don't know all the details of the first one yet. It seems, you know, when we were reading it, it was seemingly that, you know, hey, we don't want to go ahead and make our judgments either way. The first story seemed like there was a lot going on to it, right? And the fact that, you know, hey, they did have this relationship, it continued after. You know, we don't know a lot about that. Now that a second woman is now coming forth and saying that, you know, Antonio Brown did these things, I think that definitely adds a little more credibility to it, potentially. Again, it's such tricky waters navigating this whole thing, right? Because you don't want to come out and you don't want to, you know, make a wild, you know, hey, I'm with Antonio Brown, or hey, I'm with these people, because we've seen extortion before. You know, we don't know what's going to happen as these things play out. But I do think that right when you kind of get that second person to now come out, to me that does add a little more credibility into what could potentially, again, maybe be happening. We still have a lot of details to find out, but that is breaking news.
Also, Drew Brees likely out 6 weeks having surgery on his the torn ligament in his thumb. And if you watched the game yesterday, having difficulty picking up the football. Couldn't even hold it.
No, and that looked like a stinger yesterday. When Aaron Donald hit his hand, I mean, you could see in his face. Like, it hurt.
This is no good. No good for me. I've got Alvin Kamara. My fantasy league.
In your fantasy league here at the station?
Do you feel like that could be good for you, though? Antonio, Alvin Kamara now going to get maybe a lot more of the touches. Maybe more. You got to rely on him more.
But it's better if you have Drew Brees.
Yeah, that is true.
A little better than Teddy didn't look horribly bad yesterday. I think that him knowing that he's going to be the starter for the next 6 to maybe 7 weeks or so, probably get into a rhythm again like whenever he was, you know, a pretty established quarterback with Minnesota before that terrible ACL injury that he had in a practice. So I think they'll be okay, though. They got Bridgewater. They even got Taysom Hill that I wouldn't be too scared of putting the ball in his hands if I was Sean Payton as well. So I think it'd be all right. Speaking of fantasy football, we ain't even got to this. You remember when we did our draft, Brandon?
I do.
I think it was Cody, and it was our own Rick Butler projected to be the top of the league. And they talked about it for a couple of days.
They were talking.
Yeah, that week of the draft, they talked about it.
No doubt about it.
Do you know who's, I think, 0-2 after the first 2 weeks of our fantasy football league here at FanRun?
Cody and Rick.
Yeah, I think Cody and Rick. And I think my team beat the hell out of Rick's team.
Do we not remember coming on this show a week ago and saying that we were the only show who was undefeated, that everyone else was losing?
Rick's 0-2, Brandon.
Oh, yeah, he did win.
Oh, you're right. Rick is 0-2.
He won last week. That's correct.
Give me a break.
Fake news. Fake news. He didn't win last week. Cody's 0-2.
Although I will say, woof, now my team has dropped to 9th. It went from 2-9.
Your projections?
Yes.
Where am I at?
Standing projections.
I feel like I've kicked ass both weeks.
Cam has moved up to number 1.
Cody got beat by the Bear.
You are number three, Chance.
Nice, nice.
And Cody has moved to the second best.
I would like to say, I don't know who's leading in the points, but I think I'm pretty close. My team has averaged 150 points the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's some outstanding scores. You should be very, very content with your team. Brandon, did the trade that we made last week work out for you this week? Because, it did for me. Oh, I was thrilled. It got me about 43 solid points.
But you still lost.
I mean, I still lost, yeah, but I feel a lot better about my I feel better about my team moving forward than what they would have been.
And
I mean, you can't win every game.
And barring Le'Veon Bell just not playing tonight, I'll be 2-0.
Yep. Me and Brandon rolling the blitz.
Did you
killing it in fantasy football?
Did you start Matt Ryan?
No.
No one just starts Matt Ryan.
Yeah, I know. That's why I got rid of him.
You got to think about that one. You're only starting him in the bye week.
No.
What about that game last night? You guys pretty excited that finished that game?
Which one?
The Falcons and the Eagles.
Didn't watch. Don't care.
Okay.
Whoa.
Well. I thought.
Okay.
I actually. I was going to say.
That's what I thought.
This is why I like the NFL so much more. Like, we had a lot of great NFL games again for week two. And then you had another Sunday night game. Last week wasn't a great one with Pittsburgh and England, but you had a good Sunday night game. It came down to the last minute of that game was really exciting. The Falcons were down. They throw a bubble screen on 4th and 3. And a lineman just lays out a DB, and Julio Jones cuts it up the field for about 60 yards or so, I think. And he was moving. If anybody thought Julio Jones was getting a little older and he's losing a step, not true at all. I think they clocked him at over 20 miles per hour on that one too. And then Eagles get the ball back, Rick. Carson Wentz takes his team down the field on a long 4th down to Nelson Aguilar.
Uh-huh.
And they almost win the game late. So it was really good. It was a really good game. They had a chance to win it there late.
I tried to stay up and watch. I was exhausted.
Yeah.
You
went to Nashville driving back, man.
It wasn't even the drive. It was the heat.
Being there at the game.
Wears you down.
I baked.
Yeah.
Totally fried. Couldn't even stay up. I tried to stay up and watch the game, but I couldn't.
Things kind of happen when you get baked and you get fried.
865-546-8200. Let's go catch a quick break. The Blitz continues on the other side.
Back here on the Blitz, Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. There were quite a few things that happened over the weekend in the wide world of sports. Some of them were good, some of them were bad, but some of them were just plain old hilarious. So we look back now on the funniest things that happened to the weekend in the world of sports. Who wants to start us out? Where did you see something that you just gotta laugh at? You just gotta laugh at what's going on.
I'll go first.
Okay.
I feel like you got a good one. It sounds like, let me go first. They got a good one.
I will go with the Titans overall.
Take your victory.
Do it,
man.
Do it.
Make it the whole segment,
Mark,
if you have
the
to.
The fact that they lost on Eddie George, Steve McNair Day.
Marcus Mariota and Mike Vrabel's poor clock management. But I'll be honest, the funniest thing, and luckily nobody got hurt, which is what makes it funny, because if anybody had gotten hurt, it wouldn't be funny. But the huge fire before the game even started. I mean, there is some fan over there is like right after the Titans had ran on the field, the pyrotechnics, the fireworks are going off, and then everybody's like, oh my God, look, and then this fan's on. I mean, it was a huge blaze.
There was a fan on fire?
A blowing fan.
No, a fan. It was like a fan.
Not a fanatic.
Not a human being.
But yeah, the fire left a big scorch on the field there.
Did it
over
really?
Over to the side,
that's
yeah.
So wild.
And you knew it was bad from there. Keep fire away from Tennessee football teams. Keep the fire away. You had the boat. You had the boat on fire in the Vol Navy. Now this for the Titans. Keep the fire away.
Yeah, speaking of fire, My funny thing, I kind of talked about it a little bit earlier. My Florida State Seminoles having a tough time in the Willie Taggart era right now. A lot of people want the coach out. Been struggling losing versus Virginia. Virginia is ranked, but still, you're Florida State. You shouldn't lose to the Cavaliers. So, one Grayton Grant, 4 years old, set up a free Willie lemonade stand in Tallahassee on Sunday in efforts to raise funds towards Taggart's $17 million buyout. $20 a cup. Kid raised $241.
Wow.
The fact that, including $100 from one generous person, and he and his dad plan to send their $482 check to the Seminole Boosters Club this Monday. So, yeah, Florida State off to a winning start.
I would have just kept it.
Added, yeah, right, just keep that money, kid. 6-9 since Taggart took over last season. Missed the bowl game in 2018 for the first time since 81. So, yeah, things not getting any better in Tallahassee. And now you got kids out there trying to sell lemonade to get old Willie out the paint.
Wow. Capitalism at work.
Yeah.
Things you love to see here in the great country of the United States of America.
Hey, the dreams are free. The hustle's sold separately, though, as they always say.
There you go. My funniest thing of the weekend, I take you over to UFC Vancouver from Saturday night.
Let's go.
There is a fighter by the name of Michael Pereira, and my man went full gymnastics in the middle of his match, or I guess his fight. So there's one point where he's charging his opponent, and he starts by leaping himself off the cage. Right, so he puts one foot up on the cage, leaps off, kind of connects with a punch, and then he goes on to do a cartwheel in the middle of the ring, directly into a backflip. The other guy's just walking out of the way. He's like, all right, you do your flips. I'm going to walk out of your line of vision. So then Pereira, seeing that the guy's now out of the way, then runs to the other side of the cage, once again does the kick jump off of the cage, starts running at his opponent, throws in a couple of knees, and then towards later in the second round of the match, the opponent is on the ground with his back on the ground, and Pereira does a standing backflip onto him, which makes no sense because it's not WWE. Guys are going to obviously just put their leg up anytime they see somebody without their vision on them doing a standing backflip. He lands on his feet, I guess, but it was really awkward. It didn't do anything at all. It was a waste of time. But all these gymnastics moves look kind of cool. Unfortunately for Pereira, it looks like that tired him out a little too much as he never was really able to finish the fight, looked exhausted there in the third round, and lost by unanimous decision.
Wow.
All those antics for absolutely nothing.
For nothing. There was also another maybe funny thing from the weekend, but how funny can it be? Your Colts still pulled out the win, but it's very funny for me to watch Adam Vinatieri just.
Oh, my God.
They got. Oh, well, man. Can you cut a Hall of Fame kicker?
I think, I mean.
Or do you let him resign? Like, he has to resign this week,
There were rumors yesterday that he's going to announce his retirement today.
Yeah.
And you hate to see it.
You do.
Yeah, you
hate to see it. I mean, he should have just hung it up.
Last year,
not played at all this year. But, I mean, that's 2 weeks in a row.
And you can tell he can't make extra points anymore. His kicks are – and this is a guy who's maybe has the most points all-time NFL career score.
I'm not sure.
Or I think he came back because he wants to break that record. He hasn't quite broken it yet, so he needs some more kicks to break the all-time points – be the all-time points leader. But, yeah, you hate to see it from somebody with so many clutch kicks. He's been automatic for so many years, but he cannot kick anymore. Like, yeah. It is noticeable.
It's sad. Yeah, you know, to see a legend like that.
I know he is. He is.
He's all-time points leader?
Yeah.
Okay.
By, like, 60. I also have an honorable mention.
Go for it.
Actually, it might be funnier than the fire. But I just forgot about it until just now. Kentucky's kicker, whatever his name was, something poor.
Oh, yeah.
Missing that field goal wide right. And those toothless, meth-addled Kentucky fans who thought they had a chance against Florida going home upset.
Wow. That was...
Who do you want to lose that game more? Wouldn't you have been a little bit more happy if Kentucky actually wins it?
No.
Really?
No, because to me, if we can't beat them, why would I want to pull for them to have that kind of joy? If we have to go through that.
I mean, I guess that's true, but
I don't want them to be able to celebrate it. You kidding me?
I hate Florida, so
I do too.
I definitely wasn't going to be mad if Kentucky would have beat them Saturday night, but I also hate Kentucky too.
Yeah, I just wanted to see somebody completely mess up.
That's a game where I just want a rain delay or something to come through and just wipe it out.
I also have honorable mention first. Stephen A. Smith, Screamin' A. Smith, as many people like to say on First Take this morning, said that Dallas Cowboys' new offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore, was a total upgrade from Chan Gailey. He said Kellen Moore was a total upgrade from Chan Gailey. Chan Gailey has not coached for the Cowboys in any point in the 2000s. Well, he was coaching for the Cowboys in the 1990s. Sorry, man. It doesn't really look like, you know.
Hasn't he been in college since then as a coach in college or like a coordinator?
Yeah, I believe he bounced around a couple of other places. Gailey was last with the Cowboys in 2000. So he's had 19 years to find new jobs. Stephen A. Smith, unfortunately, didn't know that. And then last but not least, the last story I got is the Miami Dolphins Wikipedia page. The trolls are all over it.
Oh, yeah. Another funny thing from the weekend would be the Dolphins are going so hard on this tank job. Oh, my God. 59-10 the first week, 43-0 the second week.
Yep. The Wikipedia page now reads, the Miami Dolphins are a middle school American football team based in the Miami metropolitan area. They are seeking a league change that would allow them to move the franchise to Ottawa, Canada, and participate in the CFL, parentheses, Canadian Football League. The trolls, they're all over the Miami Dolphins Wikipedia page. I love it when people do that.
Why? That's why Wikipedia gets discredited.
Yeah, that's why we tell you all the time, don't really
go to Wikipedia. But I love Wikipedia.
Well,
that's like, my only knock on
no
it.
No one's going to the Dolphins and saying the Dolphins are a middle school American and being like, oh, I guess they're out of the NFL. When did that happen? Oh, it looks like they're trying to go to the CFL. They're not even Canadian.
Good.
Yeah.
Good thing they're not.
I guess that does.
No, you're not much on the Canadians.
No, not much on them.
I guess that does hurt the credibility of the great and illustrious Wikipedia. But that's about it. Again, a lot
also,
of good stuff. Oh, go ahead.
I'm going to say another honorable mention. Eli Manning, his play. His play this weekend. Daniel Jones is going to get that start soon, right?
Has to.
Yeah, he has to. Eli's another one. Like, go ahead and grab the clipboard, retire after this season, Eli. You look awful. It's got to be really tough to be a Giants fan.
Unless the Giants just really want another top five, top three pick. Although, putting Daniel Jones in, they might still be on pace for it. You know, he's certainly not going to be a world beater with that team, even though Barkley is. Barkley cannot hold that team afloat by himself. The Giants are bad. We got one more segment coming up left in the Blitz. We'll get into some good stuff here. If you want your last chance to be heard, 865-546-8200. Wrapping up the show after this. Back here on the Blitz, a couple seconds left until 11:50 a.m. We are wrapping up our show here today on this Monday as we start off Florida Hate Week. There'll be a lot of talk about Florida and their quarterback conversation this whole week, right?
What do you hate most about Florida?
What do I hate most about them?
Yeah.
Losing to them.
Well, besides that, I mean, obviously that.
I mean, why besides that? Like, that's my biggest reason I hate them is because it's so miserable losing
about
to
the Gators.
That much.
It's their fans and just, like, you know. I mean, Florida people do crazy stuff, dude. Like, there's a whole subreddit to because Florida.
You know what? This whole week, let's see if we can get one real quick. We need to do a Florida man story every day this week.
Every day this week.
Oh, that's a good idea.
See if we can find a good one.
I was about to say, all we got to do is go quick.
Someone stall for me.
Florida man app, there's always good ones. All you got to do is go to the subreddit, like you said there. There's a bunch of good ones every day. There's just something some idiot from Florida is always doing. I love just the because Florida dot dot dot. Quick update from the poll that we have while Brandon's finding our Florida man story for the day at Fox Sports Knoxville. How confident are you of Tennessee's chances as we head into Florida Hate Week and Felipe Franks is now out? 28% of you are confident. 70% not confident at all. 3% go with other. Let's see. Donovan says, local friend of the show, this game goes one of two ways, period. Either Florida ragdolls Tennessee en route to 52-0, or Tennessee pulls us in and it's a back and forth all the way until the last 10 seconds where we blow coverage or throw a pick six and Florida wins last second. Seen that one before. We have beaten them only a handful of times since football was invented, says Brando. We haven't beaten them in the swamp since some of these players were in diapers. How can anyone be confident? I agree.
Fair point.
I definitely agree. Troy says if Florida overlooks UT, they only win by 17. If Dan Mullen gets them ready, they win by 30.
All right, I got two.
Florida man story, and okay. Go.
So this one was from a couple weeks ago with the hurricane. And they're just interviewing some random Florida man. He says, I can't see how they can't see how they haven't come up with some kind of way to combat these storms yet.
This is a good one.
They keep saying 2 days ago, 3 days ago, oh, it's going to hit all this warm weather and warm water. We have a Navy. Why don't the Navy come and drop ice in the warm water so it can't get going as fast? There's got to be ways to combat this instead of just point at the thing and saying, well, now it's getting worse. Yeah, we know it's getting worse.
Go Gator.
You tell us, oh, it's the warm weather. Oh, it's the wind. Well, we have an Air Force. Go Drive Gator. Some Air Force planes around and get the winds going the opposite direction.
Go Gator. Go Gator.
Just hook up a big tarp between two planes and see if you can pull it backwards.
And that was one of the funnier ones from like 2 weeks ago. And the caption on Twitter was like, because Florida. And he literally was like, why don't we get all our Air Force and just get the winds going? And like dude.
you know what? If we all blow really hard at the ocean, all the wind will collectively push it back. And we'll just give it to Europe or someone. We'll make it their problem. We're not going to let this hurricane come here. We can fight it. I need to go to the Walmart.
If we take the entire population of the United States, you know, the whole 329 million, if we take all of us and we all get out there and blow, and we just blow as hard as we can, we can stop these hurricanes.
Jeez.
Second story, please, sir.
Dump the ice in the ocean. Just
where's the ice coming from?
I love to dump the ice in the warm water.
Are we going to Sonic and asking them for all their little cubed ice?
You got to go to the gas. Yes, I would like to buy all of your bags of ice outside, please.
Yeah. Well, all right, sir. That seems like a lot of ice. What are you going
to
do with it?
I'm trying to stop the hurricane.
Beat the hurricane?
The Navy's just going to buy up all the ice in Florida and just go strapped with ice.
All right, here we go. Second story. A Florida man was arrested after he was caught with 5 ecstasy pills that were colored orange and in the shape of President Donald Trump's face.
Go Gator.
Brendan Dolan King had the pills hidden inside his air vent at his home in the city of Clearwater. They were labeled Trump NL, according to the report.
Go Gator.
Is that the guy? Do they have a picture of the actual things?
Not the pills. According to Clearwater Police, the officers occasionally find these pills in different shapes, including ones featuring Batman or Superman. However, the police spokesman added that we have not seen them in this shape before.
Trump-shaped ecstasy pills. I got these Donald Trumps, man.
Go Gator.
This guy.
That guy.
This is going to be good this week.
Yeah.
I'm looking.
This is what's going to make me positive.
Do you have the picture of the guy up?
Yes.
And the picture of the Donald Trump ecstasy.
I have
the picture of the Donald Trump ecstasy and the guy. They look like Flintstone pills. Obviously, they were not, but they look like Flintstone vitamins.
Wow.
And they are indeed Donald Trump.
That is excellent.
Go Gator.
Yeah, this is going to make a these are going to be fun.
Florida 8 week.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
By the way, real quick, a little bit more breaking news. Big Ben officially done for the season.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger. Yeah, there it was. Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger out for the season with an elbow injury.
Quickly, we were talking about it's probably starting to be the end of their dynasty. We've seen how much they've struggled now. They don't have the killer bees anymore. And a couple years ago, he talked about maybe retiring. You think this is the end for Big Ben?
Yeah, I think so.
It seems like it, huh?
He's broken up. He doesn't have the weapons there anymore. Mason Rudolph, you think they miss Dobbs now?
Yeah.
Ooh,
they might. I mean,
they don't have a second string quarterback.
I mean, you're probably regretting making that trade now.
Yeah. You definitely are regretting it. I think you'd wish you had him back. We'll see how Rudolph does next coming weeks. Will they miss out on maybe?
Tough 2 weeks for the NFL. A lot of quarterbacks going down.
Could have been the start of the Dobbs era.
Ben.
Luck before the season.
Foles, Ben.
Not a good start for quarterbacks.
No, it's not. But you know what it is good for? It's good for us. We got lots of things to talk about, and we'll be doing it all week. Thank you for hanging out with us here on the program today. We'll see you back same time, same place tomorrow. For Chance, Brandon, and myself, thank you for listening to The Blitz, Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports, Knoxville.